Welcome to a special edition of the Issue Is podcast. I'm Alex Michelson. This week, our guest is the governor of California, Gavin Newsom. We talked to him on a week where LGBTQ pride was very much in the news. We met up with him at the Glendale Unified School District boardroom, where they had recently had violent protests over LGBTQ issues and frustrations with the curriculum there and Pride Night and what to do about it. He also went to Disneyland to express his support for Pride Night there and to meet with Bob Iger. We talked to him about that issue and all the complicated issues around trans sports and trans youth. We talked to him about a whole series of other issues, including his fight with Ron DeSantis and migrants and what's going on with that, his take on Donald Trump's indictment, his take on Sean Hannity interview, which just aired this week, got a lot of attention. We talked to him about his own future, and we talked to him about one of my favorite programs, the California Climate Corps and Job Corps and also College Corps. So here it is, the full, unedited, extensive sit-down with the governor of California, Gavin Newsom.
Well, Governor Newsom, welcome back to The Issue Is. Good to see you.
Good to be back.
So we're here in this school board meeting room where we saw a lot of chaos and a lot of anger recently on the issue of LGBTQ rights for kids. You met with some of the officials here. What was your message to them, and what's your message to the kids here?
Well, I met with parents. I met with parent leaders. I met with the superintendent, the principal. It's not just about LGBTQ issues. It's about trust. It's about public trust, public education, about the weaponization of grievance. It's about so much more, and unfortunately, it's come here to Glendale, and it's not unique. We're seeing this all across this country, organized interest, disorganized interest, and legitimate parental concerns of what are we teaching our kids, and are you telling me the truth? And so we've got a lot of work to do to address these fundamental divides, but trust is at the core of it.
And, you know, I think the issue of trans kids is new for a lot of people to process. Obviously, the same-sex marriage argument's been around for a lot longer. 20 years ago almost, when you first started marrying people, and the trans issue is hard for people to process. How do you think the state should handle that issue, and how should people talk about that issue in school?
Well, with humility, with humanity, putting in perspective, you know, a country of 330 plus million people, maybe roughly 1.6 million people identify as trans, 0.5% of the population. So a little humility. At the same time, I think you're right. I think the trans issue has come on as a more divisive issue in the context, particularly of sports, where it's also been weaponized, and issues around pronouns. I remember the first time I was on Zoom, and all of a sudden I saw these different pronouns, and that even took me, I was like, what's this? Mm-hmm. I didn't fully understand that. I think a combination of those factors, the weaponization of grievance and dehumanization that I see of politicians that are exploiting this, like Ron DeSantis notably, but not unique to DeSantis, have also exacerbated this. But I think all of that's part of it. And so, again, with humility and humanity, but with respect that there is a level of angst out there with parents and some kids, I think we can find a common ground here. But that said, going after the LGBTQ community and demeaning them and being the loudest voice in the room to drown out other voices and to weaponize that grievance in the context of further dividing the community is fundamentally wrong, and that's why I came down here.
But on the issue of sports, which you bring up, and I know you point out the fact that this actually isn't that big of an issue statistically in the state, but politically, clearly, it's a big issue for a lot of people. There was a new poll that came out that showed that 70% of people don't think it's fair for people to be in sports without the gender they're assigned to at birth. How does the state handle that? And what do you
never
do you
agree? Has so much attention been? Like, I mean, so few people. Never has more attention ever been placed. I've not, in my 30, 40 years of sort of deeper consciousness around social issues, I've never seen more attention paid to so few people. I just asked my staff a simple question. I said, the NC2A, I imagine there's hundreds, maybe thousands of trans athletes. There must be, for all the amount of attention and scrutiny that's being provided. Turns out there are about 520,000 NC2A athletes, 226,000 women. There's a handful, 35 or so, Mm-hmm. I mean, put it in perspective. I get why people are fearful. I get why people, and I understand, intimately understand it. I've got four young kids that are deeply involved in sports. I understand that. Again, you approach it with some humility and sensitivity, with some humanity. These kids are more likely than anything else to commit suicide. Mm-hmm. There, for the grace of God, go any of us as caregivers or parents. I don't like the weaponization, that the assault on the community. And so it's finding some common ground. In the state of California in 2013 established, a decade ago, well mm-hmm. before I got here, established a framework, a foundation in terms of the fundamental rights for trans women, trans men, to participate in sports. Biden administration is trying to find some flexibility, and that's been a rulemaking process that's wildly controversial, mm-hmm. in trying to approximate the answer to your question. I don't have the answer to the question. No one does. NC2A is trying to work through this. Yeah. But we have to come at it with some humility and humanity, and I repeat that, because it's not there. It's not present in our current public discussion.
You know, you saw so much anger in this room recently, and parents, some of them seem confused on how to talk to their kids about this issue. How do you talk to your kids about trans?
We're all bound together by a web of mutuality. We're all in this together. Our expression's unique. Nobody else has it. This is not consuming my days. My kids don't walk in the and say, Dad, I want to talk about these issues. I think our politics has gotten away from everything. We're coloring things in. Yeah. You find an exception and you paint it as somehow a dominant framework of focus. If you look at some of the networks in this country, you'd think this is the only thing going on in the country. I just gave you a stat at the NC2A. Right. We have 800,000 athletes in California. You have a handful of trans athletes. Let's put this in perspective. There are so many other things that get no attention,
right,
like third grade reading, that maybe we put a little more energy there and a little more humanity over there.
You know, it is, it's Pride Month, and you're taking some of your time this month to go to Disneyland with Bob Iger.
Yes.
After we know that basically Disney made a decision to have some people not go to Florida and stay here in California, and some of their employees, because of Florida's policies. What's your message to Bob Iger and the folks at Disney?
Values matter. Our values are universal. We're a universal state. We don't tolerate our differences. We celebrate them, and that's good business. That's
right.
My message.
And are more business coming here because of
well,
that?
Well, I mean, I think they should pause and consider the authoritarian leanings of a lot of other states and state leaders, and look at their workforce. I mean, the differentiator right now is the quality of your workforce and the ability to have an inclusive workforce that can be more productive. And I think that's a foundational principle that defines the best of California and distinguishes the game we play here versus the economic game played everywhere else. And Florida paid an economic price for bad policy making, and California will benefit in the short run, as we did with Disney, and the long run.
Do we see more announcements coming of Disney investing more here in California?
Yes, I'm down here with intention and reason. No bold announcements, but directional announcements. There's huge investments Disney is making in Southern California, in the state of California, and they've pulled back on those investments in Florida, which means they can double down on investments here. That is a welcoming thing for all of us, but ultimately, it's validation and vindication of the thing that makes us unique, and that's our values, California values.
And what's the message you have at Pride Night to all of those folks?
Just with love. You know, we all want to be loved. We all need to be loved. And you know what? My heart is broken. I grew up in San Francisco. My first taste of politics was the early memories around the Briggs Initiative in the 70s. Mm. And there was a guy named Harvey Milk, Tom Amiano, who eventually I ran against for mayor. These young leaders that had the courage to stand up and fight for LGBTQ community before anyone else. I mean, Harvey Milk's life was taken mm-hmm. in that cause. And I thought we were past it when Ronald Reagan said, you know what? You can't catch gay like you can measles. Even Reagan said that, and said, stop the demonization of teachers and what's going on in the schools. And we defeated the Briggs Initiative, only to see Ron DeSantis weaponize it again in the Don't Say Gay bill and all these Republican governors. I never thought I'd see this in my lifetime. I mean, it's remarkable what's happening here in Glendale. It's happening in the state of California, let alone the United States of America. We're better than this. Where's our humanity? Where's our decency? Where's our sense of commonality, the commonwealth? And at the end of the day, divorce is not an option. People think differently, act differently, they love differently, they worship, they have different faiths differently. You know what? We have to define the terms of our lives in the context of other people's lives and decisions. And what's happening in the gay community makes me sick to my stomach. It really does. So I'm standing taller than ever in affirming people's faith and devotion to the cause they hold dearest, and that means they love differently or look differently, then I'm going to celebrate that.
And you get a trip to Disneyland out of it. Do you have a favorite Disneyland ride?
Well, I'll let you know. I've been there in a long time. Okay. I don't even remember.
Okay.
Is Space Mountain still open?
Space Mountain's still there.
Okay,
Splash Mountain is now
Splash, that
getting
was the
closed.
One
yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
I can't wait.
Yeah.
This is fun. I'm not sure they're going to allow me on a ride, though.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know. We'll see.
We're talking to Governor Gavin Newsom. You made a lot of headlines this week when you talked with Sean Hannity on Fox News Channel. You've made no secret of the fact that you watch Fox News Channel almost every night. Did it feel like talking back to the TV?
No.
Was it fun for you?
I think we need more of that.
Yeah.
I mean, at the end of the day, you got to get it. We're in these separate silos, and whatever you focus on, you find more of. We're nothing but a mirror of our consistent thoughts. And so, you know, my father-in-law and others are just focused 24/7 on that echo chamber. Folks, you, me, others may be in different echo chambers. At the end of the day, we got to get outside these silos. I mean, so much of what's happened here in Glendale is a consequence of that. And so I was willing to at least, you know, take the risk of, you know, being on the receiving end of a lot of critique and questioning, because I think it's important. I hope the other side does that. I hope Republicans start doing that in terms of finding progressive audiences as well, because this is just not working anymore.
Yeah.
Like, it's exhausting. Yeah. I mean, it's really exhausting. I have no disrespect for people that disagree with me or even the people that try to recall me. I mean, they love their kids like I love my kids. They love their community. They want to be protected, respected, connected to something bigger than themselves. Come on, man. We got to get through this and over this. And so that's why I went on.
You mention your father-in-law.
Yeah.
He's apparently a Fox News viewer.
He watched.
Do have some conservatives in your family and friend group.
We do.
Did you hear from them? What did they say about
the
whole thing?
They were glad I did it. They said, good for you for going on.
Yeah.
They still want clarification on a few things and how I could say this or that and defend this or that. But they weren't aware of some fundamental facts, because they were never treated to those facts. 13.1 million jobs since the Biden administration started. The fact that it's more than the last three Republican administrations combined times six in terms of job creation. They're not aware of those facts. And we're energy dependent, more energy independent than any time in the last 70 years under the Biden administration. They're not aware of those facts because those facts are not shared on those networks. And they challenged me in private to prove those facts, not just here and asserted in Hannity interview.
Well, let me challenge you on one of the things you talked about, which was homelessness, right? You mentioned the fact that you own the homelessness issue, which is something you've been talking about for a long time.
Yeah.
What exactly does that mean? Because I saw you referenced
to do more and better.
2005 and Arnold Schwarzenegger being governor.
Well, I was just mentioning that we've had more people in our homeless count in the past than we have today. I mean, this is not a new issue, is my point.
Yeah.
This has been around decades in California, decades in the making. You can't turn it around overnight. What we did is we invited a different conversation in the state. The state's never been involved in homeless policy. I cannot impress upon this more. People act like they know that, but they don't, I think, fully understand and embrace the fact that the state was not involved in homeless policy until a few years ago, until we all came to the deep and obvious understanding that we have to do things differently, that cities can't do it alone. And that's why we put unprecedented resources now with new unprecedented accountability. And now I want results, because you want results. The public demands results.
Right.
It's not just about spending more money. They want to see results. And the point is, we're not victims of that. And when I say responsibility, it means elected leaders, every single one of them, school board members, city council members, city administrators, members of the board of supervisors, mayors, all of you, look in the mirror. We're all accountable at the end of the day to solving this thing, and it can be solved, but we have to act with a sense of urgency, not just accountability.
But there are a lot of people that look at the results and see that they don't see results.
That's
they
what
see
I'm saying.
An increase in spending, yeah. and they see more homeless people
yeah,
on
exactly.
the street, and they say, this Democratic policy isn't working. What
it's
do you
not
say
about
to them?
Democratic policy or Republican policies. There's not a part of the state that doesn't have a challenge.
Yeah.
You have very conservative parts of the state that challenge, they're challenged in extremes.
Yeah.
You have policies and different approaches that are localized. Some are working, some are not. That's why we have accountability plans for the first time ever. We just put those into place. It's for the first time ever we're requiring not just accountability, but we're funding no longer failure, we're funding progress. We have six baseline measurable goals for the first time. I couldn't agree with you more in terms of the results. I'm not seeing it either. I'm not the mayor of Glendale. I'm not the mayor of LA. I'm not the mayor of San Francisco. I'm not the mayor of 482 plus cities
right.
and 58 counties. I am the governor at the right. end of the day. And so my job is to organize and to standardize, create flexibility, provide supports, and to make sure that we're all being held to account and make sure we're aligning in our strategies and fund success, no longer fund failure. 100% right. What's happening in the streets is unacceptable, but there is progress being made in parts of this state, demonstrable progress, and I expect to see more.
You're not the mayor of San Francisco anymore, but you used to
haven't
be.
Haven't been for a decade.
Right. And we see what's happening there. We do see businesses moving out for various reasons, but some of them saying they're concerned about the crime in the area. When you see that happening to your beloved city, what goes through your mind, and do you think something's going wrong there?
I think they're struggling to recover from the pandemic. They're struggling to come back. They're struggling with the macroeconomic shifts, particularly as it relates to telework, as it relates to what's the future of a downtown. Is it stacking of offices or stacking of people? And they're in the process of rezoning and rebirth and reimagination. By the way, I've seen that in San Francisco for decades.
Yeah.
They're 2.7% unemployment right now. I'll repeat that, not 12 or 27, 2.7% unemployment. San Francisco, you go to the city and you sit back, you go, why am I listening to the dystopian views? This place is spectacular, it's amazing. And yes, there is macroeconomic shifts. Westfield shut down a number of shopping malls in Florida. There's issues related to shopping malls. There's issues related to Walgreens and others that have shut down all across this country.
Yeah.
Everything in San Francisco, again, gets colored in and it's made 10x bigger. That said,
yeah.
I'm not denying the challenges there. That's right. why I put the National Guard in. That's why I put the CHP in. That's why I have dozens of projects the state is funding with focus and urgency in terms of beautification.
Yeah.
And that's why I'm pushing the envelope to get these encampments off the street. Enough of the hand-wringing, they need to produce results. So it's a spectacular city. The state's a spectacular state.
Yeah.
You count out San Francisco, you count out the Bay Area, you count out LA, you count out California at your peril.
Yeah.
Eat your heart out, Germany. Again, we're well on our way to the fourth largest economy in the world. This is the state of California, not just state of dreamers and doers,
right.
but a state of remarkable resilience.
Let's talk for a moment about Ron DeSantis, somebody you bring up a lot. We know he flew migrants here. You met with the migrants.
I met with the sheriff.
Yeah.
That wants to press charges with him just yesterday from Texas.
Well, talk to us about
was
that.
Was disgusted by what Ron DeSantis did, coming into his jurisdiction under false pretense, deceiving kids, not just adults, by sending them on an airplane to an island, Martha's Vineyard. I met with him to compare notes yesterday because it's exactly the playbook that DeSantis and his staff did to send migrants in California. I find that disgraceful, and I find it not only disgraceful, I think there's grounds to not only investigate, but to potentially initiate some form of accountability. Sheriff wants to see that from the DA in Texas, and we're pursuing that Department of Justice here in the state.
And which sheriff is that?
The sheriff from the county in Texas where the migrants were yeah. taken for the group of migrants, the 49 that were taken to Martha's Vineyard. In California, the exact same circumstances
yeah.
were advanced. It was remarkable comparing notes. He wants to pursue criminal charges,
yeah.
and we are investigating whether or not the similarities and the contours of consideration allow us to do the same, because we believe in accountability and we think this is wrong.
When we spoke about a year ago outside the White House, I asked you if you had ever spoken to Ron DeSantis, and you said no.
No.
Has that changed at all?
No.
Is there any thought that maybe give him a call and say, WTF dude? is there, I know you work with governors around the country and
I have great relationships with Republicans, Democrats. You may have heard me on Hannity last night talking about my relationship with President Trump.
Right.
And if a Democrat from California could have a relationship with President Trump, I'm happy to have a relationship with anybody. I don't like the guy though. He's a bully. He demonizes. He finds vulnerable populations and he exploits them. Not my kind of human being. And I'll tell you what, I mean, one thing that I could connect with Sean Hannity on is he's a person of faith. I grew up in the church. There's no teaching in the world. There's no Bible. There's no religion that somehow condones using human beings.
Yeah.
Like Ron DeSantis uses human beings as pawns to advance a political agenda or advance a political career. I find him disgraceful and a character level. Not just the actions he's taken on migrants on a consistent basis, but the actions he takes all the time to demean and belittle vulnerable communities.
So in terms of where we go forward with all of this, with him, it sounds like there's not going to be some sort of meeting between you guys. I mean, if Sean Hannity suggested a debate, we'd happy to have one here on the issue as well.
Who cares about Ron DeSantis and this governor of California? I mean, what I care about is when you exploit people, when you use California as a platform for your exploitation, we're going to call that out.
Yeah.
When you come down here to the school board meeting and you demean the LGBT community, I'm going to come down and have the back of the LGBT community. When you go after vulnerable communities, count me in to have the back of those communities. I don't like bullies.
Right.
I don't like being bullied. And I'm going to stand up on behalf of our diverse communities. I love this state. It's the most diverse state in the world's most diverse economy and democracy. I'm proud of who we are. And we're all in this together. And we're all better off. Count on me in that fight.
Two more quick questions. The 28th Amendment you proposed, which would be a constitutional amendment to change gun rights in this country. You've had a lot of support in the first few days of this, over 40,000 donors, which, by the way, would get you a spot on the Republican nominating if you want to do the Republican
debate.
Count
me out of that platform. But again, it might be some fun on the Republican platform.
What's next, though, for that fight? Because there's some critics who say, look, that's not realistic to make that actually happen.
What's realistic about what we're doing having any damn impact? What's their alternative? I mean, seriously, what's the alternative? You have federal judges in the state of California, Judge Benitez, Judge Nelson, that have thrown out. Judge Benitez, as you recall, said the AR-15 platform's nothing more than just a Swiss Army knife. He threw out our assault weapons ban as unconstitutional.
Right.
You had Judge Nelson, who talked about the revolutionary teenagers that were out there, and so he threw out our ban saying you have to at least be 21 to be able to purchase a long gun as unconstitutional. They're rolling back the rights that blue states have advanced. What the hell else are we going to do to save our kids? This is not normal. We're on pace to have a record number of mass killings in this country. And what are people promoting except status quo ante? So you know what? At least this is something to be for, and the overwhelming majority of Americans support what we just proposed, so I'm not giving up on it.
Yeah.
California, I hope, will be the first state, and I'm gonna be around for the next few decades, maybe not in elected office, most likely not in elected office, but as a parent, and as someone who believes in this country, as a patriot, that believes this is unacceptable, and we're better than this.
Have you heard from other states that are saying, yes, we're gonna
sign
up?
I've heard from other
this.
Legislatures, across, legislative leaders across the states. I'm working with legislative leaders, mayors, we're going to be working across the country to kind of encourage people through the power of emulation. Hopefully California moves first to move this forward. I'm not naive. This could take decades. Yeah. But one thing I'm not going to do is roll over as a victim of this circumstance. And at least we have something to be for. And I hope people go to that petition and sign it.
And last question, I just want to give you some credit. I think the California College Corps, Climate Corps, and Job Corps is one of the most impressive things that the state of California is doing. I know it's a passion project for you. Can you sort of talk about what you hope other states learn from that and what that means for you?
I love that you bring this up for a different reason. Everything we just talked about in terms of just, you know, this, that, everything else, the deeper question is, what are we going to do to define the terms of our future in terms of shared experiences. What are we going to do to soften the edges? You talk about DeSantis and Hannity and all these things and all this division. It's about shared experiences, and it's about people doing the thing that uniquely binds them together, and that's just being citizens, active, not inert citizens, engaged in their community, the life of their city, our state, and our nation, and the world we're trying to build. And it's in the spirit of Sarge Shriver, the spirit of the Peace Corps, and the fact that California has more volunteers through this organized effort than the entire Peace Corps is a point of deep pride. Mm-hmm. These people haven't gotten the cynical message. They're not paying attention to these school board meetings. They're paying attention to how they can help support their community, not the loudest voices in the room, but those quiet voices, those real leaders every single day in the community, the real heroes that don't get on TV, that don't get the attention on Twitter. And I'm really proud of this, these programs, and I'm really grateful you've taken some time to even learn about them and to highlight them.
Thank you very much, Governor Newsom. Appreciate it. And I just really forgot to ask you about the Trump indictment. Do you have anything you want to say on that?
Nothing more I can add, except it's a hell of a time for America, and it's going to be a tough few months as we work through this.
But you still think he beats DeSantis?
Oh, I think he cleans his clock. I think he does. I mean, I think DeSantis is, I think he's an afterthought at this stage. I think guys like Tim Scott are more interesting to focus on. Nikki Haley beginning and Scott to break a little bit from DeSantis and others in terms of their rhetoric around this indictment are indicative of, I think, a different pathway to being the backup to Donald Trump. But Donald Trump's a T-Rex in the Republican primary. Outside of that, we know what happened a few years ago. Biden cleans his clock in the general.
Well, you're heading to Disneyland, but you just did the Jurassic Park reference there.
I'm in trouble.
Yeah, thank you very much, Governor. Thank you for being so generous with your time. I really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
And thank you as well. And the Job Corps stuff is really, really great.
I love it.
I think more people need to know about that.
Thank you.
Our thanks to you. Our thanks to the governor. We really appreciate you listening to the Issue Is podcast. Next week, one of my friends, Matt Friend, a comedian and impressionist who we helped to discover on this show, who's become a big star, will be with us for some fun. We're also going to be talking with the outgoing speaker of the California Assembly, Anthony Rendon, and who knows who else, because Joe Biden's going to be in California next week. Maybe we'll even get a chance to talk to him, the President of the United States. In the meantime, thanks for listening this week. We hope you'll share this out, like us, review us, all the good stuff, and send me a message in social media. Let me know what you think of this show, @AlexMichelson, Alex with an E. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week.